prayer. Lord Jesus, we're grateful that we can come before you this morning again and have church, Lord Jesus, and we ask that you would come and be among us as you promised to do, to meet our needs, Lord Jesus, to speak to us, and Father, just to be our God, our Savior, our Lord, our everything, our healer, Lord, just, Father, that we can know you, that we can have a relationship with you, that you desire, that we desire, Lord. And so this morning we ask that we could get to know you better than we ever have, Lord, to come closer to you, to hear your voice, to strengthen this relationship, Lord Jesus, so that we can walk from here saying, I know Jesus Christ more than I did when I arrived, Lord. Just reveal more of yourself to us, Lord, as we sit here, Lord, expecting, Father, to hear from you. We ask that you would bless the ones who aren't here, Lord, for whatever reason, Lord. Just keep them safe, strengthen them, Lord, and bring them back to us, Lord. We ask this in your name, amen. If in your Bibles you would turn to Revelation, the 6th chapter. I'm going to read a couple of verses and be seated. I do have quite a few scriptures to turn to today, so you might want to keep your Bible handy. Revelation 6, and verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balance in his hand, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Maybe see. God bless you. I hope everyone's having a wonderful week and time and just enjoying this wonderful weather we're having and just the blessings God is giving us. And we are the most blessed people, obviously. And sometimes our flesh doesn't feel like it, and we can look around and say, I don't feel blessed right now. But if you just look past that, like we talked Thursday night, look to the unseen. And I dare you look to the unseen and say you're not blessed. Because if you're not, that's your choice. Because there are blessings to be had, brother and sister, if you will just look to Christ. Amen. Yes, sir. There are blessings to be had. This morning I want to speak on the thought, wine without oil. Wine without oil. We see here in Revelation 6 that it says, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And in the seals, when Brother Brandon preached the seals, he spoke about in the third seal and some more in the fourth. Let me just read some of the quotes so we're on the same page so we know what we're talking about. Brother Brandon says, oil and wine in the Bible is associated together always. All right? He said, when the truth of a promised word of God has been truly revealed to his saints that's filled with oil, they all get stimulated. Wine is a stimulation. All right? When the truth is revealed to people who have the oil is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. That is the oil. So when the truth, the word is revealed to someone with the oil, they get stimulated. So the question I have is, what happens when the truth is revealed to someone who doesn't have oil? We might have a little different response. All right? When it does, it has the same effect upon them that wine does upon a natural man, because when the revelation has been given of a truth of God and the true believer filled with oil, the revelation is revealed, the stimulation becomes so great that it makes him behave himself unnormally. It makes them behave themselves unseemingly. So this is why, brothers and sisters, sometimes you see people acting different in church or out of church. They might sit at Waffle House in the morning and call someone out because they're acting like an idiot. It makes them do things that you would not normally do. Oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit. We find out that oil and wine is connected in worship. Always connected in worship. Well, oil and wine is always connected in worship for a true believer. All right? Now, I'm trying to hold back because I got so much to say. Let me read. The wine, I said, the wine symbolizes is the power of stimulation by revelation. That's when something has been revealed. It gives stimulation to the believer because it's presented by revelation. It's something that God has said. It's a mystery.
They can't understand it, see? And after a while, God comes down and reveals it and then vindicates it. So here you have the word, you don't understand it, it's a mystery. You're born again, and God takes, and all of a sudden he takes that word, he opens, he reveals it, and then he vindicates it. There's the whole key to the whole thing. So many people run around this message and they say, God revealed this, God revealed this, God revealed this. You got to see it this way, you got to see it this way. And God never vindicates the revelation. For the true believer, it's that vindication is what stimulates them. Why? Because they see the word is preached, the revelation is preached, and then they see it happen. And when you see the word happen, brother and sister, that is the single greatest attraction the world has ever seen. Brother Branham said, the gospel of Jesus Christ is still the greatest attraction the world has ever seen. And you look around all the churches and say, well, I don't see much attraction going on. Everyone's kind of sitting there just being educated. The attraction. Like he said, he preached, what is the attraction on the mount? He said, here came Jesus riding on the donkey into Jerusalem. People are going crazy and shouting everything and saying, what is all this going on? And they're fulfilling the scripture and not even realizing it. But there is an attraction because they can see something strange is happening here. How many times in this church I sit around and say, something strange is happening here. What is it? I can't put my finger on it, but things aren't normal. And then you go down the road a little bit and you look back and you say, oh, I see what that was all about. Now I understand. It stimulates you if you have oil. If you don't have oil, you might not like it. If you don't have oil, it might make you upset. You might leave. Oil and wine have to go together. What is wine in the Bible? It's refreshment. This is the refreshment that comes from the presence of the Lord. It's got to be scriptural now. There is a key. It's got to be scriptural. A lot of people get up and preach, and they preach revelation, and it's stimulating, but it's not scriptural. Oh, you say it's still stimulating? Oh, yes, it's very stimulating. That's why you get churches chock full of people, because of what they're being preached is stimulating to them. They like it. Doesn't mean it's scriptural. Let me skip down a little bit. God's vindicated revelation made plain to them, talking about the day of Pentecost. God's vindicated revelation made plain to them, they were happy about it. God promised it. Here it was revealed to them and vindicated to them. Here is man standing here saying, this is that, this is it, and there it was being vindicated by the same signs. Their stimulation by revelation, they really had it then. That's the reason Peter could go out in there and say, why you men of Judea, you that dwell in Jerusalem, listen to me and all you doctors of divinity, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Oh, how wonderful, revealed, they become so stimulated when they've seen it vindicated. That's just always does it. It always does it that way. Brother and sister, it's always the same way. When you see someone, when you sit in church and you feel yourself being stimulated and you like what's being heard preached, brother and sister, if the vindication comes behind it, there's your proof. I can come up here and preach message doctrine all day long and it might really tickle your ears and just make you feel good and make you feel smart. But brother and sister, if God doesn't back it up, don't get so excited about it. God has to vindicate. He has to back it up. That's the stimulation. Let me move on. The attraction for the believer in every age is to see the word for that day happening. That's what we're happy about. That's what makes us happy. I talked Thursday about how Sunday, the word of God just spoke to me so clearly. That made it just stimulate me because I heard the word, and then this past week I have seen the vindication of that word happening in my life. That's something to be happy about, brother. That's something that makes me stimulated. It's just been amazing. All right? But now we look at this, like I said, we want to talk about wine without oil because there's a stimulation that comes to people who are not born again. Now, you can get a real revelation without being born again. Peter, before he was born again, he got the revelation who Jesus Christ was. Right? He hadn't been to Pentecost yet, but he said, "Thou art the Son of God, the Christ. Right? And so you can get it. And so you had to get a revelation before you're ever born again that the message was true. You had to get a revelation God sent a prophet. You had to get a revelation to come to church. And then after this happened, it's probably when you got born again. But brother and sister, if you don't get born again, all that other revelation is going to fade away. It's going to turn to something else, and you're going to mix it with something. Let's look at that a little bit. What happens when someone doesn't have the oil? Revelation 17. Revelation 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, "Come hither. I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Look at this. He said, we're going to see the judgment of this great whore, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the people of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So we have a new stimulation here, right? They're being made drunk. They're being stimulated on wine, but they don't have the oil. And so they're drinking the wrong wine. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a great scarlet beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. We all know who that is. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. So here she has a cup in her hand and is filled with the filthiness of her fornication. Upon her forehead is written a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Ain't that amazing? This woman was so beautiful. She was so powerful. She has something about her that John stood there seeing her drunk on the blood of the saints, and he said, I admire her. What kind of a woman is this? A woman that can bring peace to the earth. A woman that can settle your problems. A woman that can do away with poverty. A woman that can bring peace between Christians and Muslims. Yeah. This is her job. This is her inheritance. This is what she's doing. She is admirable. She's amazing. The whole world is going to follow after her. And if you say that there's something wrong with it, you're going to be the moron. You're going to be an idiot. You've seen this bumper sticker, coexist, right? All the different symbols of different religions written out to make coexist. Can't we just get along? Oh, yeah, we can. Peace and safety, finally. Why? Because this woman takes control. She takes over. And you can all coexist as long as you agree with us. You either coexist or you die. There's something kind of strange about that, isn't there? People who do this, get along with everybody. And if you say, I think that's wrong, well, you got a problem. What is your problem? I thought you said get along with everybody. What? You can have your ideas and they can have their ideas and they can have their beliefs and they can have their beliefs, but I can't have mine? Yeah, there's something a little twisted if you look all the way real deep into this, isn't there? So what is this, brother? Sister, this woman is so powerful. She's drunk on her power. She can do what she wants. And what she wants is to get everyone to come to her. That's why she has daughters. She went out and had a bunch of daughters, so even though they won't come to her directly, they come to her through their own women, their denominations. And they're all drinking from the same cup. See, Satan's wine is more enticing than Christ's to the flesh. Because Satan mixes his. That's why it's called fornication. You mix the seed. And so Satan takes the word and the inherent power that is in the word. Oh, this is very powerful. This word of God is extremely powerful no matter how you want to use it. You want to take this word of God and you can build yourself a huge kingdom here on earth. All you have to do is mix it a little bit with some worldly seed, worldly desires, some fleshly desires, and preach to the people what they want to hear. For goodness sakes, how do you expect to have people come to church if you keep hurting their feelings? How do you expect them to come to church if you don't at least have a basketball team? You can mix it with anything you want. What do people want? I remember several years ago there was these people going on, they're weightlifters. And they went around putting on these shows, Weightlifting for Christ or something like that. And they'd get up there and they'd lift all this weight and they're all greased down so they look really attractive, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, it's like they're doing this for Christ. You can mix the word with anything and you can, it's very powerful. That's what Satan has learned to do. He's really good at it. But that's not deceptive for you and I. Because ours has to be mixed with message doctrine to be deceptive. You mix a little message, a little bit of self, put an anointing to it, and boom, you got yourself a message church. And people flock to it. If you preach it to what they want to hear. Didn't Paul say they heap themselves teachers to tickle their ears? What do you want to hear? What do you want to hear? I can preach it any way you want. What do you want to hear? What kind of church do you want to go to? Anything your flesh desires and will get you stimulated. Anything you want. See, to get the oil, brother and sister, you have to die to yourself. You have to die to yourself. And to drink Satan's wine, you don't have to go through that process. You don't have to die to yourself. You can be whoever you want to be. You want to be a Christian and not die to yourself? That's fine. We got churches for that. We got doctrines for that. You don't want to come under the headship of Christ? That's fine. We have doctrines for that. You just want to be a good religious message believer? That's fine. We got doctrines for that. We got churches. Let's read some scripture. See what the Bible says about this. Let's turn to Isaiah 56, 9. Isaiah 56 and 9. All ye beasts of the field come to devour. Yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. So what does it say? You beasts of the forest come and devour. Who are they coming to devour? The sheep. God's calling and saying, come on, my sheep, devour them. Why? Because they've heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. Who are these teachers? These watchmen that are blind, they're ignorant, they're dumb, they can't bark, they sleep, they lie down, they love to slumber. These are the ministers that are supposed to be taking care of God's sheep. He says they're not doing it, and why not? Because people don't want that kind of watchman. They want a watchman that'll let you live any way you want and just leave me alone. I want to come to church, and I want you to be anointed, and I want you to stimulate me with some good message doctrine, but I want to live the way I want to live. And you got plenty of preachers who do that. Why? Because they don't care for your souls. They care more about your feelings and your emotional response to how I'm preaching. Because then the money comes in. True. Let's keep reading. He said, yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They're greedy. They want your money. They don't care about your souls. They want to have a kingdom. They want to be powerful. They've been what? Drunk on the wine of fornication. Drunk on the wine of fornication, because if they were sober, they wouldn't do that. If they were sober, look at the world. If the people were not drunk on this wine, how they would not be doing the things they're doing. I went to a wedding yesterday. My family. The minister was a woman, and her wife was sitting on the front row. They're drunk with this fornicating wine. They message believers. Some of them. You can't do that, brother and sister, if you haven't, your mind hasn't been twisted. You don't even need a revelation to read that in the Bible and say that's wrong. But coexist, for goodness sakes, you bunch of judgmental people. Can't you just get along? That is the wine of fornication. Why? How did it get to this point? Because ministers were cowards, and all they cared about was your money and your popularity and your women. That's why we are where we're at. They've been giving you the wine of fornication, and the people loved it that way. They are greedy dogs that can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his gain from his quarter. It's a selfishness. It's a self-serving something. It's about me. Why? Because they never died to themselves to receive the oil. Oh, can they pray? Sure, you get anointed. You can have wine pouring out of your gills. That's not a big deal. But without the oil, that wine is going to be tainted. And you're going to get drunk. And you're going to do the crazy stuff we're doing. How did we get to the point? Hang on a second. I got to get this. How did we get to the point when we make a deal with Iran where we are going to give you $150 billion to inspect your own nuclear sites? Who wouldn't take that deal? It's like going to your kid. Hey, listen. We're going to let you grade your own tests in school. All right, now make sure if you get an A at the end of the semester, I'm going to give you $150. Oh, I get to grade my own test? Yeah, I'll take that deal. Thanks, Dad. Those are our smartest politicians. Are we drunk? Are we in our right minds? There's no way. There's a new fad going around. I'm a Christian without accepting Christ. Get on the internet. Look it up. Yeah, I don't accept Jesus Christ, but I'm a Christian. Who are you to tell me I'm not a Christian? Fornication. It's mixing seeds. You take a little Satan's idea, you take a little God's idea, you put it together, and you can come up with whatever you want. And that's what this is. What do I want? Verse 12, come ye, say they, I will fetch wine. Oh yes, he's going to bring some wine, this sleeping dog of a minister. I will fetch wine. We will fill ourselves with strong drink. Oh, I have a new revelation. Let me tell you what the prophet said. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. We're cruising along. We're headed for the rapture. We've got a good message, church. We're good message believers. And I'm going to tell you what the prophet said. And we're just going to walk right into the rapture one day. Stimulating people. Tell me that's not happening in 2015. They're blind, they're ignorant, they are dumb dogs that can't bark. They don't know how to bark, they don't have nothing to bark about. They don't see the danger. They've been drunk. They've been made drunk. They don't see the enemy. They don't see the Antichrist spirit walking through their church, taking over the people. Why? They're drunk. And they say, here, let me get some more revelation. Let's take some more of this. It's going to be just like yesterday, but even more. It's even better. And the people say, yeah, let me have some of that. Turn to a couple of pages back, Isaiah 29:16. Isaiah 29, verse 16. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as a potter's clay. I'm sorry, let's go up to verse 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. And their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? Surely our turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? He said, you people who want to ignore what the Bible says. Say, who says who is God? You know, the Muslims have a God, the Hindus have a God, we have a God. There's a lot of ways to God. Who says who's right and who's wrong? When Paul said that you can tell by the very nature that the Bible is the true word of God. You know the truth of God, just look at nature. It testifies to that the Bible is correct. There's no excuse. He said, you who want to tell, it says like the potter's clay, who shall say to him that made it, how he made me not, or he had no understanding? Well, I'm actually a woman in a man's body. God got it wrong. I was born this way, so I have an excuse. I can't help it. Let me tell you something. Can I get off on that a second? You know, people say, well, you think gays are born that way? I think they take a spirit at a very young age, and that's maybe the only thing they have ever known. Yes, sir. Now, let me say something. I'm attracted to women. Always have been. I thank God for that. But if I had that spirit on me, I don't know where I'm going with this, but listen anyways. If I had that spirit on me, that I'm attracted to guys just as strong as I'm attracted to women, and you say, well, that's wrong. I say, what am I supposed to do about that? I can't help it. It's true. When you get that spirit on you, you are just as attracted to the same sex as I, or a normal person, I call it normal, a normal person is attracted to the other sex. Now, if you came up to see me and said, Brother Phil, you need to stop being attracted to women, I say, there is no way. I can't help it. It's my nature. Even when you're born again, that doesn't change. Amen. I'm really happy for that. But now, if I felt the same way towards a man, which is just disgusts me to even say it, if I felt that same way towards a man, and you say, well, it's wrong, I say, well, what am I supposed to do? How would you like to be a 10-year-old kid with that? You gonna blame the kid? He can't help it! We are living in a perverted world. The only way out of that is be delivered of it by Jesus Christ. And when you don't even believe in Jesus Christ, or you want to tell them it's normal and it's okay, and to say you need to get rid of that, you are ridiculed and mocked and hated for saying that's a wrong thing. What chance do people have? Whew. I was talking to someone. He said, Phil, we just need to love the gays. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? There's never a question of whether you love them or not. I don't hate anyone because I disagree with them. Do you hate people because you disagree with them? I know some people do, so if you do, don't tell me. I don't want to know about it. But a lot of people do. People will hate you because you support George W. Bush or whatever. They hate you. They will hate you if you say homosexuality is wrong. And that's why they turned around and said, you just need to love them. And I said, I do love them. That's never been a question. Whether I love them or not has nothing to do if they're right or wrong. It's not a question of love. It's a question of what is God's will. What does God say about it? Now, if you hate people because they're different than you, you need to be born again. Because I promise you, you will not hate anybody. So that's where we were going with that. But when we want to take and turn things upside down and say, well, this is, you know, we are, our society, the world is coming, we so want nature to be able, just pristine, everything back to nature, 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 until it comes to human beings. And if we, for human beings, the more twisted we can make it, the happier we get. Isn't that amazing? What are you telling God? You don't have any understanding when you made me because you made me wrong. I'm actually a horse trapped in a human body. That is, there are people that way, brother and sister. They believe they're animals. How did it get that way? Dumb lying dogs right here in the pulpit. That's the only way it could happen, because if the preachers would have stayed true to the word, this country would not have got to where it is now. It's the preacher's fault. And now we're all so drunk, not we aren't, but people are so drunk, they can't think straight anymore. Up is down and left is right and all kinds of stuff. It just, everything's got whacked. Brother Branham said they're totally insane. He said, that doesn't mean, you know, they're like, it's not like insane when we think they're crazy. They're very smart, intelligent people, but their reasoning power is totally whacked. They cannot tell right from wrong. And the things we used to say were immoral, now it's moral. And the things we used to say were moral, now it's immoral. Stand for the truth. People won't tell you that you're a hater. You're immoral now. What happened? They drank the wine of fornication. And if you notice what he said, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore. It's bringing us to judgment. Let's read some more. Let's turn to Ezekiel 33. Let's go ahead and talk about message believers, shall we? This is the place where we have the greatest chance for the deception. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. So we're talking about message believer, thy people. And speak to one another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Wait a minute. They're saying, let's come hear the word of the Lord, but it says speaking against thee. They're speaking against thee, but they say, let's come hear the word of the Lord. That's strange. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. There's a problem. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do my commandments. They will not do them, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. So they say, hey, let's go hear the prophet. Let's go, let's gather together. Let's have church. We're going to hear the prophet. And they come to hear it. And with their mouth, they show love. Oh, I love the prophet. I love the message. I love God. I love this. But their heart is not in it. Because they won't do what the prophet said. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. How many times have you heard it? Oh, I just love the prophet's voice. I heard that voice the first time. I just knew something was different. And that's true. And people still hear that. As soon as that tape comes on, it's just, I just love to hear the prophet's voice. That's good. Except they're not doing what he says. They love to hear the tapes. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Brother and sister, 2015 is fulfilling that scripture. I don't know if you heard what's happened in Jeffersonville recently, but I'm going to just go ahead and tell you. Excuse me. I don't know how long ago, maybe a couple months or something, I don't know. But through a clerical mistake on paperwork and through church politics, Voice of God Recordings now owns the Branham Tabernacle. And Brother Joseph took over. He said it was the hand of God doing this, making sure they got a hold of it. Brother Collins, when this came up, he said, you know, that they'll do the right thing. They'll just fix the clerical error and we'll keep going with church. Nope. Brother Joseph said, no, this is the hand of God. He took over Branham Tabernacle. Brother Collins and all the board, all the officers resigned and left, except for the assistant pastor under Brother Collins. He said, I'm sticking around. Now, several years ago, for the last several years, Brother Collins and Brother Joseph had butted heads about certain things. They have not got along. And so the people who supported Brother Joseph have left the Branham Tabernacle. Well, when Brother Joseph took over, they came back. Brother Collins went off. He has another church. He has about 80 people he's got in his church, some other building. The people who followed Brother Joseph come back. And of course, Brother Joseph and this other assistant pastor, they now run the services. I don't know if they alternate doing song service or whatever. They both get up and talk a little bit. Then they, of course, play a tape. It's gotten so bad that to get a seat at the Branham Tabernacle on Sunday morning, you had to be there by 4:30 or 5 in the morning and wait 5 hours for service, just like when Brother Branham was here. To go in there and listen to Brother Joseph lead the song service and then play a tape. And that's gotten so bad that they've decided to move the services to a different building. They have a gymnasium. They now meet for church on Sundays in a gymnasium. They use the tabernacle on Wednesday nights, but on Sundays, the Branham Tabernacle sits empty. Because everyone was concerned about who's going to choose what tape to play. How did this happen? Let me ask you this. Are they coming to church because of the stimulation that they want to hear from the voice of God speaking, or are they coming to church because of who's deciding which tape to play? They'll listen to the same tapes. Why didn't they just leave it alone? It begs the question, why didn't they do this before? When all the people quit church, why don't they start having church then and do this now? You might as well have let Brother Collins keep the church. It's not being used. What's it called, brother, sister? It's politics. It's church politics. And brother and sister, when politics are in the church, that's an antichrist spirit working amongst the body. It's nothing but politics going on. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump would feel right at home. It's true. Where is the leadership of the Holy Spirit? They get together, they play the tape, and they say, oh, we love to listen to the prophet. He's like one who has a beautiful voice. But they're not doing what he said. Amen. They are not doing what he said to do. You know how you want to lose popularity? Start telling the truth. People fall away from you in droves. Of course, there goes a lot of your money, a lot of your popularity. We might not want to do that. They're drinking the wrong wine, folks. Hey, I got family right smack in the middle of it. Good people. You can't meet better people. I never met more of a gentleman than Brother Joseph Branham. He is a wonderful human being. But there's something wrong, folks. People are following the man. They fear the man more than they fear God. See, I know Brother Branham didn't say to do it this way, you think? But we're going to do it anyways. What spirit is that? I know the Bible doesn't say this, but the Pope can change it. Tell me it's not the same spirit. Brother Phil, you don't need it. Why do you have to say these things? Why don't you let it alone? It's none of your business. Because this is what is happening today. It's not doing us any good for me to preach what Brother Branham did yesterday or what the devil did yesterday. We need to see what the Word says about today and what the devil is doing today. What is God doing today? We can rejoice about what he did back in the time of Paul and the time of Peter and Elijah and Brother Branham and all these people. And we do, and we look back that to see what he is, his character. But if we don't see what he's doing today, then we are drinking the wrong wine. You need to drink the new wine. Well, if I get in trouble, then I'm just right there with all the rest of the people who told the truth and got in trouble for it. So it's good company. It's not very comfortable, but it's good company. Let's turn to Jeremiah 5. Jeremiah 5, verse 21. So let's start at verse 20. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judea, in Judah. Again, this is to the believers, saying, hear now this, O foolish people and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Oh, my. How many times did Jesus say, he that has eyes, let him see. He that has ears hear, let him hear. Blessed are you if you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Because many of the prophets longed to see what you're seeing today, and they didn't get to see it. But brother and sister, in 2015, Brother Branham longed to see what you're seeing today, and he didn't get to see it. But you get to. You believe that? If you see the word being manifest today, you believe that because you realize what a time we're living in. All the things that the prophets have prophesied are happening right here among us. We are at the very culmination. And if it is as dark out there as we believe it is that much light in here. I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about in the hearts of the believers. You see the Word made flesh. You see Jesus Christ in a greater way than any group of people has ever seen him living among us. He's not in a prophet now. He is in his body. when he said, I have to leave that the greater one can come, he was talking about manifest in you. Amen. You want to see the greater one? Look in the mirror. Amen. Man, that excites me. This stimulates me because I see the vindication of the revelation. And there's oil inside to understand.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. We have eyes to see. We have ears to hear. To hear the revelation, to see the vindication. Why? Because the wine we're drinking doesn't mess us up so we can't see reality anymore. The wine we see, it sharpens our eyes. We can see the reality. The wine we're drinking. Let's keep reading. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence? Which hath placed the sand for the bounds of the sea by a perpetual decree, that I cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they pass. They not yet can they not pass over it? He said, don't you fear me? Don't you realize I create everything? Don't you realize I keep the ocean in place? I put the moon, I put the stars. Everything is in my hand. And yet, when I say something, you won't take my word. You think you can turn it around? You can do whatever you want? You can have the church the way you want. You can believe the way you want. Didn't I send a prophet to you to tell you the truth? And you don't believe it, you won't do it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, which giveth rain, both the former and the latter, and his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. See, doesn't he give us some food? Doesn't he give us the rain? Doesn't he give us this in due season? Isn't he in charge? Hasn't he brought us this far? Hasn't he called us out of the denominational systems? Then why do we want to turn and go back into him?
Let me read something.
Talking about Moses. He might have thought there ought to be flies, but there didn't any flies come because God hadn't told him so.
I'm going to have to go back to make sense of that.
He said, now when Moses went out there under the inspiration of God and said, let flies come, flies come. He said, let frogs come, frogs come. See, what if he had said, let flies come, they didn't come. See, then he didn't speak the word of God. He only spoke his own word. He might have thought there ought to be flies, but there didn't any flies come because God hadn't told him so. So he was saying, now if Moses had just gone out and said, we need to have some flies, I'm going to call for flies. But if God hadn't spoke to him and said, call for flies, the flies wouldn't have come. It would have just been his idea, even though he was a prophet.
Amen.
When God tells you anything and say, you go do this, and I'll be right with you. This is my word. He shows it in the Bible. Then God stands right behind it. Now listen to this. If it's not written in the Bible, God stands behind it anyhow if it's God's word. If it's not written in the Bible, but it's still God's word, God will stand behind it. And then if it's outside of that, if it's outside of the word, it's revealed to prophets. If it's outside of the word, but it's still God's word, it's revealed to prophets. So this is how Brother Branham said, he repeated all the time, the word of the Lord comes to the prophets. That's why Brother Branham could take this and speak the things he did that you might, you know, it's in the Bible, but you don't understand it until the prophets speak it because the word came to him to show what it is. Does that make sense? But if God ever says to do something and you say, well, I can't read that in the Bible, well, it comes to prophets. Because they have the word, and then that's where you write the new word. Now, Brother Branham didn't write new word, but he brought the revelation of it, because that's what God gave to him. That makes sense? So if it's revealed to prophets, then the prophet can go and say what he wants and change anything he wants, can't he? No, he cannot. Let the prophets say what the other prophets have said before them. Man, I'm getting right back on this. Okay. Micah, he came and he said what Elijah or whoever had said before him, right? The prophet said what the prophet had already said. The minor prophets say what the major prophet said. They don't change it. If another prophet comes along, I don't have a problem with someone being a prophet, but they better say what Brother Branham said. Otherwise, it's wrong. They're playing Pope. Let's get back to this. Verse 25, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait, as he that set a snare, that set a trap, that catch men. How do they do it? Hey, why don't you have a drink of this? As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are fat, they shine, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper in the right of the needy, do they not judge? What are they doing? They're getting rich by ignoring the judgment, by not bringing the judgment, by not saying the things that need to be said, by allowing things to go that's wrong because they don't want to lose their popularity, and they want to bring in all the people they can. And they say, we're bringing people to Christ. What's wrong with that? You're not bringing people to Christ with that way. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? That's why he said back here, he said, all ye beasts of the field, come to devour. Yea, all ye beasts of the forest. Why? Because they have turned against him. But listen to this. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? People love it this way, so they give the people what they want. And what will you do in the end thereof? You go into tribulation period. And that's where you're going to find them. Tribulation period, the place where you don't want to be. See, I never belong to denomination. I'm a virgin. Yep, without oil. Without oil. Let me turn to one more scripture. Turn to 1 John. And here's a consolation for us who believe, who have not been deceived, who have oil. And every message believer believes they have oil. But where's the vindication of it? What are you being stimulated by? 1 John verse chapter 2. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Can you say amen to that? There are many antichrists have come. What does that mean? There's only one real antichrist, but what he's talking about is many who are influenced or even possessed by the antichrist spirit, at least influenced. Brothers and sisters, politics in church is an antichrist spirit. I've said that before. I just feel it. When you see people running a church by politics, there is an antichrist spirit working there. God does not use politics to run his church. Ever. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest. They were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Ain't that something? You have an unction. You know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. You shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Here's John. He's saying, now, so you will not be seduced. I'm writing to you concerning them that would seduce you, them that would give you this wine of fornication, them that would tell you that you have the oil when you don't, them that would tell you that just drink this, get stimulated over this doctrine, that doctrine, and it's nothing but an education. These are the people who want to seduce you. These are the people who say, you know what? You don't need to sit there and listen to that kind of preaching. It makes you feel bad. You're having a hard enough time the way it is. Why don't you come over here? And it's a lot more comfortable in my church. We could really use your skills, your gifts, your talents. The ones who seduce you. He said, I'm writing you concerning them. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. He said, the anointing that abideth in you. Now, this is not just anointing. You come to church, you're anointed, you feel good, and you go away. This is the Holy Spirit, the oil itself in you, abiding in you. It stays. There's the difference. A million men can get up and preach, and women can get up and preach and be very anointed. You ever seen a very anointed woman preacher? It's just weird to me. It just makes me so uncomfortable. And yet I recognize that's the genuine Holy Spirit on some of them, anointing them. Sometimes it's not. But it's just something is wrong. But he says, you have no need that anyone teach you. Now, some people take this and see, we don't need preachers. He says, there's no need that anyone teach you. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that you don't have anyone to tell you to prove if something is wrong or not, because the anointing in you, the unction in you, tells you if it's wrong or not. That's why he said, if you have the Holy Ghost, you punctuate every word with an amen, even if you don't understand what they're saying. Because if someone gets up here, you're born again, someone gets up and starts preaching, and you're going, oh, amen, and then all of a sudden they say something that just doesn't quite set right. It's like you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden you're driving a stick shift, and all of a sudden you go to shift gears, and you grind the gears. You know what I'm talking about? You've heard that. You've heard people talking or preaching, whatever, and say, something's wrong there. Well, what is it? I can't quite put my finger on, but just something don't right. Now, sometimes it is right, and we've been wrong, and he's trying to get us to change our minds. But if it is, then the Holy Spirit's going to say, yeah, that is right. You have something inside of you telling you what's right or wrong, so you're not going to be deceived. You don't have to worry about being deceived. You don't have to worry about drinking the wrong wine. Because it's already in there. That should make you happy. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and his truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. That, brother and sister, is enough to make me even happier, because that means I don't have to worry. What if I hear the wrong preaching? What if I go to the wrong church? What if I go to a wedding where a woman is preaching? Am I going to be deceived? Of course not, because I have oil. The oil inside will keep you with the right wine. They go together. You don't have to worry about, someone going crazy in church, or, you know, well, I don't like the way this person worships, or there's just a lot of wildfire in this church. So what? What are you worried about? David walked out. People used to get so offended around here the way David would dance. Oh, yeah. Shout and scream and act like that. He said he wasn't even born again. So? Does that affect your birth? Does that affect you besides in your emotional realm? Was it annoying? Maybe it annoyed you. What does that have to do with you and your relationship with Christ? Well, I don't think Brother Jerry said. And you know what? Brother Jerry didn't ask you. I don't think Brother Jerry should allow this to happen or that. You know what? Brother Jerry didn't ask you. And you know what else? God didn't ask Brother Jerry. God did not ask Brother Jerry, what's your opinion on how you should handle this? He didn't. But I don't like that. Yes, that's the whole problem. That's the whole problem. We don't like the way God runs this church sometimes. And you know why God does it that way? Because our self is still too important to us. We have to die to that old, natural, nasty self and let the new person have his way. Let Christ have preeminence. And God does that by putting us through things that irritate us, that annoy us, that make us mad, that hurts our feelings. Sometimes we sit in church bored to death. Some of you have been bored this morning. Don't try to hide it. It's so obvious. I don't care. I'm not bored. I'm preaching what God gave me to preach. Anyways, that's the way God does it. Why? Because he's teaching us it ain't about your flesh. It ain't about how we're, our emotions. It ain't about how we feel about stuff. Let that stimulation come. When you see the word of God manifest, when you see it vindicated, let that stimulate you. Oh, you might not, you know, you're going to act different. I'm glad we don't all like Brother David. But I'm glad to see Brother David acts the way he does. I like to see the way people act when they're being real, not putting on something. Not putting on something. Just be who you are. When the Holy Spirit stimulates you, react to it. If it's nothing more than raising your hand and say amen, then raise your hand and say amen. And if you're a more emotional person, then let the Holy Spirit take control. But for goodness sakes, don't condemn someone else. You say, well, I don't really believe that's genuine. As if you were supposed to judge that. Not supposed to. All right? God's in control. You believe God's in control?
Amen.
You believe he's been in control the whole time?
Amen.
Then why did all the bad stuff happen? Because he is in control. Can you go there? Can you accept it? Sometimes it's rough. If God really loves you so much, why did he let all these things happen? Because he loved us so much. Well, you say, I don't understand it. Neither do I. Don't have to. But the anointing that remains still says amen. It tells me what's right and what's wrong. And I'm happy for that. Amen. Let's stand. Let me just read two more sentences. Brother Branham said, he said, he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the manifestation of his spirit is catching away a bride. Let that faith, revelation, fall into your heart that this is the hour. This is the hour where the manifestation of the spirit, taking that word and living it, is catching away a bride. That's what's stimulating the bride. And without oil, you can look right at it, and it'll pass right by you. And you say, I don't really think I like the way this is going. But if you have oil, if you have the Holy Ghost, it's going to catch your attention, and you're going to jump on and ride it. This is where the bride is going. Lord Jesus, we're grateful that you would come and speak this morning, having your way, Lord, among us again, Lord. And Father, if I said anything that was displeasing to you, I just pray you take it from the minds of the people so that they would forget it, Lord. And if it was pleasing to you but displeasing to someone else, then thank you, Lord, anyways. Father, I just pray you go with us, be with us as we worship you a little bit in song, Lord. Just let the word be watered by the Spirit, Lord, and by our worship. And Father, just have your way among us. This I ask, Lord, in your name. Amen. God bless you. Brother Nate, why don't you come on up, please? Oh, I want to see him look upon his face.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. And see him forever on the saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me live my last to rejoice.
There will be a church picnic at the Roberts house next Sunday, the 27th, and everyone is invited. The if the sisters could get with Sister Cindy to talk about what to bring, she may be meeting in the Sunday school room. So let's be dismissed this time. We'll have Brother Paul to dismiss us.